Page 43, Omar HaChaver. Okay, having spoken about the importance of brachas, he now elaborates on the idea. Again, his unique theme here is that making brachas increases a person's pleasure in this world, as opposed to the usual case for making brachas to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and to sort of put it as a job on a person, as a responsibility on a person. The idea here is that when a person makes brachas properly, it actually increases his appreciation of the pleasures of life. Yud Zayin, Omar HaChaver, HaHizdamnus LaHanoa VaHargishasa, the opportunity to derive pleasure from this world and to feel the pleasure, V'Shiyachshoy BaHadara Koydim Lachain, if a person thinks about the possibility of not having the pleasure beforehand, Koyfe LaHanoa, it doubles the pleasure. The pleasure is greater if a person does not take it for granted. And that is a tayelas, a purpose in making brachas for those who are accustomed to saying it with kavana and hachana. And pausing a minute before you make the bracha to think about it, which is, I'm sure, what we all do. Because we make a bracha, it illustrates for a person the pleasure he's going to have, and the fact that it's praiseworthy, to one who gets it, and someone who might not have had it. This is something we learned earlier, that a person doesn't appreciate something until he has a fear that he won't have it. Now, bracha shechiyonu v'kimanu is a potentially specifically meaningful bracha. The bracha shechiyonu v'kimanu v'kimanu l'azman hazeh thanks God for having brought a person to this point. Thanks to Rabbi Nishalem for having brought a person to this point. And kvar hu'yisa mezumen lamus, if a person imagines that he might not have lived to see this, v'toyde al shechiyecha, then you thank God for having brought you alive to this point, tira zeh revach. Then you'll see it as a benefit. V'yoko beinecha achayli v'amoves kashayavai. And God forbid, when the time comes for a person to pass from this world, it will be easier for him to deal with it. Because you're thinking about the fact that whatever God has given you is harvacha, is something that you got extra, so to speak. B'teva, a person by nature doesn't deserve anything. And God gave you life and the pleasures of this world, you thank Hashem for it. Right, so this is a theme that we've spoken about recently. Here, the idea that a person who appreciates things by thinking he may not have had it. I remember once we were talking about trying to understand the fact that Chazal talk about pleasures of this world as being involved in pleasures of this world as being something that a great person should shy away from. I mentioned that time as an example. Imagine you're passing the ice cream store on Coney Island Avenue, and Rav Shmuel Birnbaum is waiting in line to get a soft ice cream with sprinkles. So it would look to you very, very strange. And you would wonder, what's going on here? That was the example I gave in a different discussion. Someone commented then, yes. But if you see Rabbi Victor Miller waiting in line for an ice cream with sprinkles, he would understand that, well, that's part of Rabbi Miller's avoda in appreciating, that was his avoda in appreciating everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. That's what he spoke about all the time. So that appreciation is a central idea to this point here. I should add that we make shechiyanu. Let's say someone buys a new suit, so we make a shechiyanu and we put it on the first time. So people ask me, well, if I got a new pair of pants, do I do it? If I got a new hat, do I do it? If I got a new, so I tell people, well, it depends how sameach you are with it. To some people, getting a shirt is meaningless, so you don't say shechiyanu. Getting a suit, I think, to most people is meaningful. Where do you draw the line? Depends on the person. The point there really, it's true, mitzad the halachis, it's so. Mitzad the person, it's really a greater person who appreciates everything, who can say shechiyanu on anything he has, somebody who really appreciates. Well, you have to enjoy what you have to make the shechiyanu, but it has to be an appreciation.
Appreciate it like something new. Somebody gets, no matter how appreciative he does, if he gets a shirt once every 3 weeks. The chat is that even he's a tremendous makir type.
So that's what he said. Kvarho yamizum in lahadara. If he would be a person who wouldn't have it, then he appreciates it. Someone has it all the time, doesn't appreciate it. That's the story. The story of our lives is not appreciating things because we take it for granted. And we don't appreciate people because we take them for granted. That's even a worse, it's a worse tragedy. You have a relationship with someone, you take him or her for granted. It's a shame. It's a shame. Now here, I want to inject a thought, which, let's see if you like it, the following idea. We find in the Torah a tremendous stress on wheat. Of all the foods, we find in Torah and Halachas tremendous stress on wheat, and to a certain degree, wine and oil. For example, according to most opinions, the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisris is only on Dog and Tirish V'Yitzar. The Torah expresses all the time a discussion of making holy Dog and Tirish V'Yitzar, wheat, wine, and oil. The Beis HaMikdash, the carbonists we bring, aside from the animals, but from the things that grow, we don't bring oranges on the Mizbeah. We bring wheat and oil and wine. Those are the carbonists. What's so unique about these things? There's a Gemara that always troubled me, and that is the following. The Gemara says that on Shavuos, a person is judged, the world is judged on the perishilim, on the fruits of the tree for the coming year. Okay, on just like on Sukkot, we judge on water, we say the Bracha of Geshem. On Shavuos, the world is judged for perishilim, the fruits of the tree of the coming year. What do we do on Shavuos that has anything to do with the fruits of the tree? Well, some homes decorate, some places you decorate the house. It's interesting, people decorate with branches, although today I don't see it that much. I usually take branches of non-fruit-bearing trees, right? But the idea is to celebrate the fruit-bearing trees. The Gemara says that there's a special carbon on Shavuos called the Shtei Alechem, and the Shtei Alechem is brought for a bracha on Peiros Ha'ilan. So Rashi says, hold on a minute. Wheat is not fruit. Wheat is not. Heviel fanai shtei alechem k'deshet tisparchu lechem peiros hashana. B'nishel tishel peiros. So Rashi says, no, it is fruit. We find the bikurim, which is fruit. We find chitim included. And Rashi says, ukemandi yamer eitz sh'ochel mimenu adam arishin chita haisa. Mandi yamer de Gemara, that the tree, so to speak, from which Adam ate was a wheat tree. So it's troubling. Let's say wheat is also called a fruit. Why bring something that's also called a fruit if you can bring a fruit? Like, why do you have to bring chitim for Peiros Ha'ilan, which is not a fruit, instead of bringing something which is a fruit? Now, if you say Adam Rishon ate wheat, first of all, it's very hard to pick wheat off the tree, so to speak, and eat it. A little difficulty. Also, it says in the Chumash that it was nechmad lamare. It looked appetizing. Well, I can understand an apple or an orange might look appetizing. Wheat does not exactly look appetizing. As a matter of fact, I wonder how Adam Rishon discovered in the first place that it's edible. To me, it looks like a rock, you know, a little rock. The Lashon of Chazal is that in Gan Eden, the wheat tree grew gluskois. What grew were ready to eat cakes, ready to eat breads. Breads and cakes grew that were ready to eat. When Adam sinned, part of the fact that the world became less desirable, less ready for human beings, lechem. Now, lechem refers to everything, but lechem literally means bread. And the bread, the wheat, was, so to speak, cursed. The wheat was demoted into its present state. Of all the other things that grow, wheat needs the most preparation. The Mishnah in Shabbos counts 11 jobs that have to be done before the wheat is ready to be.
Good or bad?
Well, it's difficult. Whether it's good or bad, I guess it's good because God only does good things, but it's difficult. It's easier to eat an apple off the tree than it is to eat the chita. But on Shavuos, it says Poska Zuhamasam. On Shavuos, till the Chet HaEgel, the Zuhama, the effects of the Chet of Adam Rishon disappeared. So that on Shavuos, the curse of the chita disappeared. Now, potentially, man could have once again had the ready-to-eat bread growing. Now, obviously, it can't grow on that skinny little stalk because it would just fold over. But that's what it says, Eitzaya, it was a tree. It was something more real. Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzar are the three products that need the most work. Of all the things that grow, the things that don't grow ready for use are wheat and wine. Well, you can eat a grape, but that's not wine. And oil. You have to work to get these things out of their natural state into a preferred state. The Gemara calls it Iluya Achrina, another improvement. So that the Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzar are the avaita of a person in this world. The mitzvahs that a person has are focused primarily on Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzar. That's when we bench on the Dagon. And that's when we have the mitzvah of Trumas Umaisris on Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzar. The primary are on those things. That's the idea.
It's a more important fact that it's a hard process to come to the end product. At the end of the
time,
it's the most
chashav. So the bracha that we make on the bread, hamaitzi lechem minaretz. Now it's interesting. The Mishnah actually counts 11 jobs, 11 malachis. What it says in Shulchan Aruch is there are 10. It probably doesn't count plowing. Plowing you don't do with the chita; you do it in preparation. But it says hamaitzi lechem minaretz is the only bracha that has 10 words. Better work, right? Baruch atah Hashem, lekeinu melech ha'olam, hamaitzi lechem in haaretz. Right? Hashem kohem is 6, hamaitzi lechem in haaretz. All the others are 9. Because hamaitzi lechem in haaretz has the 10 preparations that need to be done. It says when you make hamaitzi on Shabbos and lechem mishni, you should touch them with your 10 fingers. You lift them up and you touch them with your 10 fingers to symbolize the 10 jobs. It also says that there are 10 mitzvahs. If you count leket, shichah, peah, all the dechala, the different mitzvahs that have to do with wheat, there are 10 different mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are the tikkunim for the malachas that we do. So we're saying here that the brachas are an appreciation for what we have. They're to appreciate what we have. The idea that the Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzar, they probably are the only bracha d'oraisa, is benching. Perhaps brachas haTorah as well, are the brachas that we make min haTorah, all the other brachas are derabanan. The brachas, the appreciation, takes itself to a different degree when you're talking about something that requires a lot of work in order to make it usable. On the other hand, it should awaken a person to the fact that everything else comes with such a blessing. You know, oranges don't cost as much as chitim. It's just it comes ready-made. Comes ready to eat. And what? What? Meat. Yeah, it's true. So Adam Rishon didn't need basar. I'm not sure how to work with basar. What I'm telling you is I'm only repeating what things I've learned. Regarding the basar, I don't know. Adam Rishon, as you know, Rashi and the Ramban says that Adam Rishon was not permitted to eat meat. Now, that half second, if the Ramban I had a difficulty with, the Ramban says, when will we allowed to eat meat? If the teva, why? Because Adam saved all the animals. He rescued all the animals. So therefore, he had bailus on them. He had sort of a dominion on them.
Fish? Did they eat before?
No, so that's a little kasha. Why fish? That's asked. But there's another kasha that bothered me about it, is that, well, it's very nice that Adam saved the animals, but Adam was the one who messed them up in the first place. There wouldn't have been a marble, if not for human beings. Right?
Adam,
not Noach. Okay, Noach. Noach behave. Okay, we'll be there. And anyway, this is just a little more time to the brachas that we make and appreciation of that. Osa lo adam lehenos balam azeb lo bracha. This theme, I don't know anybody else who talks about this except the Kuzari. So I'll tell you where he gets it. There's an idea, a philosophical idea, that all responsibility that Hashem puts on a person, right? The king said, brachis, they're a bother. Brachis torech, they're a bother. They're not a pleasure. There's an idea that this world, every piece of this world is like a puzzle piece. A puzzle piece fits on one side, it fits on the other side. All of the mitzvahs in the world come as a responsibility, as a responsibility to a person. But they fit on the other side. On the other side, they make a person's job in this world run better, a person's experience in the world run better. And sometimes we appreciate it, sometimes we don't. But the sakin es ha'ilamais, we say that it does a tikkun of some sort. So the brachis are a responsibility. On the other hand, what he's saying is that they also have, for the person who makes them properly, there's a pleasure that comes from them.
Which you could say is a way of increasing the motivation to say the brachas.
Yeah, certainly it would increase the motivation. But I'm learning this for the last week, and I don't know, every time I make a bracha, sometimes I remember as soon as I finish. But beforehand, I don't remember. I don't know. If I take a black and white tonight, I have to remember too. At the bottom line on the page, Mishaina Yachis Aderech Hazeh, person who doesn't make a brachis, Al Tashav Kiana Osehana Anushis, don't think that his pleasure is the pleasure that human beings are capable of. Achana Behemis Einena Mevina. It's the Hana, like an animal who doesn't appreciate what he has. Kashamarno Bishikar. We had the other day the marshal of a drunk who has pleasure, and when he sobers up from his drunkenness, he says, oh my, it's a shame I was drunk when I had the pleasure. I'm not even aware of it. And somebody who is a chassid, who is a righteous person, will seek not only for the brachas and the henin, which we're discussing till now, but all brachas. And here he mentions the longest bracha. What's the longest bracha of all? The longest bracha of every bracha?
No.
The bracha we say in the morning after Baruch Hu, right? Yetzeraru v'arichai shech. That's one bracha, even though the siddur breaks it up. The siddur breaks it up because otherwise it would be like tachton. You know, you wouldn't say it. But the siddur is kind enough to break it off for us. Well, psukim, the custom is that when you have a long bracha, and you have psukim inside, we have a custom that we stop and say the bracha together. So kadosh kadosh and baruch v'ashem m'kama, we stop and say it because it's a pasuk within the bracha. But that's the longest bracha. Now, why I would have thought he said what longer one? Chanukah, Al Nisim. Okay, let's. Rosh Hashanah. You mean the middle bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? Yeah, the middle bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. That's true. If you look at it all as a bracha, not to be right. All right, so the longest everyday bracha is Yotzer. Now, I would think he would talk about Yotzer Ar, he would talk about appreciating the sun and the moon, which that's what it's about. It's about the Maros, but he really mentions something more. Listen to what he says. Hine Yitzur Ba Yotzer HaMahiris. When you say Yotzer Maros, you should imagine. Say their oilam el yain, v'goydah lo ishamahem, v'goldah te'al asam. You should think about the Ifanim, the Chayis HaKadosh, the heavenly creatures, and their great toelas, which I don't know if we appreciate. Shem Eitzel Bayram, Kikotan Sheberam Asim. Even great angels, or heavenly bodies, are to God, no different than insects. V'mhen gedaylim, even though they themselves give us a great talus, the sun is really the greatest giver that God has created. Of all of God's creation, the sun is the biggest giver. It gives everything to human beings. It gives us warmth and light and the ability for things to grow. Everything grows only as a result of the sun. So the sun really is the biggest giver. The sun is the first item in Torah that's called Gadol, right? Hamar ha-Gadol ha-Mashalas ha-Yayim. The word Gadol, a great person is one who gives. I'd like to just read the next sentence, and we'll try to see what he says about it. But listen to what he says. V'haraya she'meitzel bayram kashar marati, she'chachmasei v'anasei b'yitziras ha'namala v'advayra. Again, this is an interesting insight that was never pointed out to me before. He says the wisdom and God's involvement in the creation of an ant or a bee einenu mikatzeres b'chachmasei v'anagasei l'shemesh v'lgalgala. The creation of an ant is no less amazing than the creation of the sun. The sun is so many times larger. If you think about it, the ant is a more amazing creature than the sun. Now, where he's going with this, I guess I'll leave you in suspense.